Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Hey, mister, that's a mighty big dog you got there.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah! Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
It's Linderman Unleashed on Natural News Radio.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear?
All opinions and views expressed on Linderman Unleashed are strictly those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Natural News Radio. Warning, this program might cause you to think for yourself. Listener discretion is advised. And now, here's your host, Kurt Linderman.
That's right, you are listening to Linderman Unleashed Natural News Radio. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman Sr., bringing you the bare-knuckled right hook of truth to any that would try to put the chokehold on your liberty and health freedom. We have a very special, two very special guests on the program today, Annalisa Paik and Tara Cook, co-founders of the Right to Know Connecticut, where they're dealing with House Bill 5117. They work very closely with a friend of this show's and a friend of somebody that I admire greatly, Jeffrey Smith, is also involved in this. Annalisa and Tara, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kurt.
Well, I'll tell you what, I contacted you at the beginning of the week last week, and we've just been bouncing emails back and forth since, and I pretty much contacted y'all because I was really interested in what this bill was doing. This bill, HB 5117, and I'm going to have y'all explain exactly what the bill's about. And we'll do that. But then, as everything's progressed with us getting together, some real major things have happened with that bill. So either Annalise or Tara, go ahead and introduce each, yourselves, And then let's talk about this bill, HB 5117.
Okay, thank you so much. This is Annalisa Paik, and I'm here in Fairfield, Connecticut. And I'm the founder of Fairfield Green Food Guide, which is a 3.5-year-old website dedicated to local and sustainable food. And I became really aware of the issue of GMOs about a year ago when we brought Jeffrey Smith to Fairfield to speak on the topic. And it was a game changer for me. I was aware of GMOs, absolutely, but I don't think I really understood what all the issues were. And quite frankly, it was that bucket of cold water dumped over my head that changed my focus. It expanded the focus to not only local and sustainable food, but to get more into activism. So I started writing about the topic, and we had met Representative Dick Roy, who introduced legislation just about that time, and he was not very confident that it would pass. But given his legislative history, he knew that he would bring it back again. So this year, when he brought the legislation back, actually the weeks prior to, he invited a group of us up to Hartford to sit with him and his team and talk about the bill. And it was really wonderful to see advocates from across the state, including one of the plaintiffs in Osgata versus Monsanto, which is the Organic Seed Growers and Trade Association. And that was the beginning of, obviously, not too long a process, but an arduous process, because our legislative session ends on May 9th. So obviously we wanted to get things pushed forward. They were pushed forward very quickly after he introduced the bill. We were invited to go up to Hartford and testify. That was an incredible opportunity to have our voices heard and start to dispel the myths that are out there and the misinformation that was out there. We were shocked and amazed that our legislators barely knew what GMO was, most of them anyway, and very few of them were aware of all the other issues relating to GMO. So we spent months on education, and we really believe that it paid off, because right before this bill was to be put on the go list to be debated and voted in the House, a pre-vote tally showed that 85% of the representatives were in support of the bill.
Wow. And, you know, that's indicative of the general public as well. Many, let's just say, polls have been taken that show that most Americans, when asked, say, hell yeah, I want to know what's in my food. What the hell's wrong with that?
Yeah, it is widespread throughout the country. The public wants GMO labeling in effect. And this is Tara. I have to just share that my story that brought me to GMOs is very similar to Annalisa's, in that I'm a certified holistic health counselor and a former New York City prosecutor, and I always had the intention of combining my legal background with my passion for health and wellness. I just never expected those passions to combine so quickly. But when Jeffrey Smith came to Fairfield, Connecticut and spoke, I also had my blinders removed and began educating people about GMOs and went up to testify, and the rest is history. So here we are now, and Annalisa and I spent the last couple of months working very hard with our legislators and with the public to bring awareness and get this GMO labeling bill passed. And what just happened on Friday was devastating, and it was a travesty of justice. This bill, as Annalisa mentioned, had 85% of the legislature in support. The public supported it. We heard from our legislators they had never received so many emails in support of a bill before. And just before the bill could have gotten to the floor and our legislators could have done their job to debate the points of the bill, to support the bill was taken to the governor and he removed the heart, the guts of the bill, Section 2. Section 2, which was the part of the bill that called for mandatory labeling of all products produced with the process of genetic engineering. It was just removed from the bill, and they sent back a shell of a bill with no meaning, no purpose.
And Tara, as you said, that was pretty much the heart of the bill, especially from what I'm reading, what I was reading from y'all before I contacted you. That was pretty much, like you said, the heart of the bill. labeling. Now, I understand why the manufacturers of the GMO foods and the people growing the GMO products and Monsanto, who creates the GMO products, would have felt that this bill could have been a death knell for the entire GMO industry, because they're not the food industry is not going to create special packages for just the state of Connecticut. So it would have had a far wider reaching impact than just Connecticut. So
right, and that's exactly what happened in Europe. In
right.
Europe, once the public became aware of GMOs because of the scientific work done by Arpad Pusztai at the Rauet Institute, and the press got their hands on it, within 3 months, the European public made it clear they did not want GMOs in their food. And so all the big manufacturers over there, rather than having to label the foods as GMO once the government over there got GMO labeling laws in effect, those manufacturers like Kraft and Nestle and McDonald's, they just removed GMOs from their food in Europe, but
well,
not here.
Yeah, because it just goes to show that if people know that GMOs are in their food, and if companies know they have to tell the people what's in their food, they're going to change their ingredients because they know people don't want that crap in their food.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, fortunately, we already have two retailers who have GMO-free products, or at least they endeavor to be GMO-free, and it's the private label of Trader Joe's and private label of Whole Foods. In the case of Whole Foods, I would caution listeners to make sure that there is a GMO Project verified label on the package, because you can register a product to be tested, but until it's verified, it doesn't get the seal. So I would always look for that seal to make sure. And in the case of Trader Joe's, they use third-party verifiers, and I've been after them for years, and I really like what they have to say. There are manufacturers in Europe, certain high-end beer manufacturers, that won't use GMO grains to make their beers. And this seed is already segregated. So any arguments that, oh, it's going to cost too much, oh, there's no way we would know when we're sourcing whether it's GM or non-GM, is really quite untrue. The two largest grain manufacturers in the world and processors, which are Cargill and Archer Daniels Midland, already segregate seed and pay a premium for non-GM.
Well, I'll tell you what. You have this big it was Saturday you had this big rally, correct? Or was it Friday?
It was Friday.
Okay, Friday you have this big rally. You're supporting the bill, and you know, man, this is going to happen because we've got 85% of the legislature that's sitting there going, good job, we like this bill. And then yesterday, Saturday, the next day, you find out that the governor has just pretty much gutted the bill. What was the reaction in the in your communities, the organic communities, the anti-GMO communities? What was the reaction, and what do you feel is going to be the result for the governor?
Well, there's only one word: outrage.
Right.
It's complete outrage. We're outraged. We knew into the wee hours of the night, Friday night, that things had gone south, and we knew that there had been a bevy of lawyers from the leadership, as well as the governor's office, that apparently decided that this language had to go because the state was concerned about being threatened with a lawsuit by Monsanto.
Right, Kurt, the thing to understand here is that our government right now is choosing to put the interests of biotech in front of the rights of the American people. And the reason they gave, the constitutional issue they're citing for removing Section 2, is that it would violate the Constitution. And what the biotech industry is claiming, I mean, it's kind of absurd. They're claiming that they have a constitutional commercial right to stay silent and not label foods as genetically engineered. And believe it or not, our government is actually buying into this propaganda, and that's just what it is. It's propaganda. It's BS.
Oh, I'll tell you what, that governor did not buy into it. That government got bought out. That governor got bought. I can guarantee it.
Well, Kurt, you know, we would love to be able to prove that one day.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you what, it'll probably be very damn hard to prove, because these are some very evil people that we're talking about in the on the GMO side. There's no doubt about that. And I'll tell you another thing. We've got a lot of people, we've been dealing with vaccine bills in California. And what we've been noticing lately, especially those of us in the organic community, we're sitting here going, wow, you know, the Democrats are for the organic food. We're the hippies and everything, you know, the old 1960s Democrats. And it seems like the Democrats are the ones stabbing us in the back recently. What in the heck's going on with this? This governor that did this is a Democratic governor.
Oh, yeah. This is Annalisa. You know, we were not surprised when we went to give testimony on the bill back in February when the room was packed. I mean, they had never seen so many people show up to give testimony on a bill. It was standing room only, and the Associated Press was there. They covered the event. It was syndicated all over, including the Wall Street Journal. That was immensely gratifying to see the topic finally get some coverage that it deserved. Of course, the biotech industry was in the room. Of course, they testified. That was not surprising. But what was surprising was that they were eerily silent after that. And we couldn't understand what was going on. And on Friday afternoon, Tara and I spoke to each other, and she said, I've been crying all afternoon. And I said, I smell a rat. And we were right.
Yeah.
Whether it's our maternal instincts or our sixth sense or whatever it is, we knew it was all over before it was over. We could smell it coming. And so we just kept saying, why were they so quiet? Why were they so quiet? Why were they? Was this outcome predetermined? We don't know. But a logical person would ask that question.
Absolutely. Like you said, we smell a rat. Annalisa, Tara, we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to take a commercial break. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed, naturalnewsradio.com. Hey folks, it's Kurt Linderman, host of Linderman Unleashed on naturalnewsradio.com. Are you a parent who wants to educate your children on vaccine issues so that they are equipped with the truth when faced with peer and social pressures from the pro-vaccine crowd? Are they prepared to deal with the pro-vaccine messages from the media found in cartoons, schools, and commercials? Are you a professional in need of a quick reference for your patients regarding vaccine ingredients, side effects, and exemptions? If so, No Vaccines for Me is for you. No Vaccines for Me is the first interactive family book written as a resource for like-minded parents and professionals who choose not to vaccinate. No Vaccines for Me is written in an easy-to-read format with great illustrations. No Vaccines for Me facilitates discussion and educates readers of all ages, especially children. No Vaccines for Me books and t-shirts can be ordered at NoVaccinesForMe.com. NoVaccinesForMe.com. Educate yourself, educate your children. NoVaccinesForMe.com.
Are you frustrated with surging grocery prices and the very real possibility of empty grocery store shelves? If the food transportation system were disrupted, how long could you and your family live on the food in your home pantry? Being prepared for what life might throw your way provides a tremendous peace of mind. A home food store is the perfect insurance against the unknown and the unforeseen. It often seems like a daunting task to start, store, and use your food storage. Beth Dunsing, an independent consultant with Shelf Reliance, offers you an easy and healthy solution. Thrive Foods. Thrive Foods are healthy, delicious, GMO-free food with no additives, no preservatives, and a long 20 to 30 year shelf life without refrigeration. Foods so delicious, you will want to use them every day. Beth will help you use the free online planning tools to customize a food storage plan that fits your family, your budget, and your space. Guarantee that you will never look into the eyes of a hungry loved one and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Food is key to your family's survival. To receive a personal password to guarantee you receive the low Linderman Unleashed pricing, send an email to me at lindermanunleashed@hotmail.com. Get started today.
Hey Obama, the Lindermans refuse to lower their standards, so up yours. And now, back to Linderman Unleashed.
Two flags fly above my land and really sum up how I feel. One is the colors that fly high and proud, the red, the white, the blue. The other one's got a rattlesnake with a simple statement made. Don't tread on me is what it says, and I'll take that to my grave.
And we're back. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman, once again with Annalisa Pake and Tara Cook regarding HB 5117. They smelled a rat before it was coming. And, you know, I'll tell you what, Annalisa and Tara, I really believe, as you implied before the break, this was predetermined. There's no doubt when the GMO industry just went silent like that, this was predetermined. They already knew that they were going to take the teeth right out of this bill.
That's quite possible. And the saddest part about this is how discouraging it is for Americans who are already disenfranchised with our political system. Tara and I counted ourselves among them, but when we saw our local legislators, including Dick Roy, really passionate about this issue and showing up at all the public events that Tara and I would hold to talk about the bill, to get people engaged, to get them to sign our petitions, to get them to sign letters to their legislators, it was really, encouraging, at the least, for us. We really thought there was some integrity to the process. And now we kind of feel like we've been had, and that's a really, really awful feeling. And as an American, to have to say, I don't have faith in my legislative system, is really, really awful. So we think that we need to go on a little bit of a different tact here and maybe pursue two tracks. And one track would be to continue to pursue the legislation. For example, California, they're going to vote on theirs on November 6th. If their GE labeling bill goes forward, they're going to move the whole country.
Right.
No question about it. But are they going to face legal threats? You better bet. So while we're waiting for this whole mess to be cleaned up, people can start deciding for themselves whether or not they want to support the biotech industry. They're just going to have to do a bit of work.
Right, and we're trying to tell people now, avoid GMOs. Make the decision today. Do not wait until tomorrow. Educate yourself. Learn what GMOs are in. Go to the non-GMOshoppingguide.com online. Join Jeffrey Smith's tipping network at responsibletechnology.org and educate yourself, because until we, the people, stand up and say, I will not put my money in that industry anymore, we're going to stand still. Because our money speaks. And the manufacturers that are using GMOs, they have a bottom line they need to make. And if they realize that the American consumer is not buying their products anymore because GMOs are in them, then I can pretty much guarantee they will stop putting GMOs in those foods.
And you know what? This is actually a perfect segue to talk about what happened with Kashi, a green grocer in the state of Rhode Island, found out that there was GE soy in the Kashi cold cereal that he was selling. He removed it from his shelf, and he put a sign up. Customers came in, took pictures of the sign that said, we will no longer be carrying this product because although it's labeled natural, it contains genetically engineered ingredients. It went viral. Kashi is now reformulating their products and promises to go, I think, 70% in some of them, 70% GM-free by 2015. Why 70? That's a half step.
Yep.
Do it all the way. So there is proof pudding that is the consumer's dollar that will move mountains. We are stuck in our legislative process. Number one, the FDA will not reverse 20 years of arcane policies about labeling genetically modified foods. Just Label campaigns, 1 million signatures didn't do it. A bicameral letter from Congress signed by 55 members to FDA Commissioner Hamburg didn't move them. Legislation has failed in state after state. Legislation has failed at the federal level. The people need to take this into their own hands.
Oh, there's no doubt that we're going to have to vote with our wallets. The FDA has been bought and paid for. I mean, we've got Michael Taylor, former vice president of Monsanto, that's now at the very high, second highest level in the FDA regarding food safety. Once brought in on the government, in the government by a Republican president, and now brought in with a Democratic president, this GMO money knows no party boundaries either. This is just complete 100% corruption from the ground up, and the only way we're going to get rid of it is for these companies to understand the American people are going to stand with Europe and South and many countries in South America and not put up with this crap any longer.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's all the other countries. So there are 50 other countries countries in the world at label, including Russia and China.
Yeah.
And when I called Representative Roy for his statement on Saturday morning, poor man had been up until 2:30 in the morning, you know, raked over the coals the night before. I felt awful for him, ready to go in into another session, and he was generous enough to take the time to give me a statement. And what he basically said is, we are the freest country in the world, yet we cannot have a simple statement on our food saying that there's GE foods in it.
I'm telling you what, this is what I feel when it comes to the vaccine issue that we deal with on this program, when it comes to the GMOs, which my wife calls God move over. When we deal with this, we realize no matter what administration, no matter what party line, they take the Constitution and they wipe their ass with it. It's ridiculous.
You know, Kurt, let me take that opportunity to point out to your listeners that the constitutional issues being raised really have no weight. And so I just want to point out that we had top lawyers in the country from the Center for Food Safety and the Organic Consumers Association giving us information, giving us the language, giving us the case law to pass on to our legislators to make sure that this bill would pass constitutional muster, which it would have. And so I just need to point out that this bill would have been insulated from constitutional attack because the only thing our legislators had to do was show they had a legitimate state interest that was related to the bill. And that is so clear because the state interest is protecting the health of Connecticut citizens, protecting the environment in Connecticut, giving the consumer the right to know what's in their food. There were so many state interests here that were directly connected with the legislative intent of this bill and the state interest that there would have been no grounds for constitutional attack. They may have tried. The biotech industry would have tried, and they would have pointed to old case law in the Monsanto case in Vermont when they sued based on the RBGH-RBST labeling law that passed in Vermont. But they would not have succeeded because there is new case law that was ignored by the governor clearly that showed that the legal standard would have been met here and the bill would have passed constitutional muster.
There's no doubt. I mean, this governor, Governor Malloy of Connecticut, has basically said in ripping the guts out of this bill that Monsanto and food manufacturers have more rights in the state of Connecticut than the consumer. There, it's just no other way around it.
Right. That is the message that we received. The message that we received is, we know what you want, but we're not even going to try to get it for you. We are admitting defeat before we start, because we do not want to undergo the expense, et cetera, of being sued. What about the expense of destroying the environment? What about the expense of putting the health of your people at risk?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. The American Academy, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine actually urges physicians to recommend a non-GMO diet because they now say that there are many animal studies that link GMOs with immunological disorders, with gastrointestinal disorders, with major changes to internal organs, just to name a few. And the one that strikes home for me the most is these immunological disorders. My son has nut allergies. Why? I can't tell you. Why 6 of his friends sitting in the classroom also have severe allergies? I can't tell you, but I will put money on the fact that GMOs are a major part of that equation. Well, and when you take a foreign substance like these genes from bacteria and viruses and insert them into the DNA of the food crop to end up in our food supply, our body recognizes that as a foreign substance, and it says attack, and gets our immune system going and creates allergies, not just in the GMO foods like soy. In Europe, when GMO soy was introduced, I think this was in England, there was a study done that showed that soy allergies skyrocketed by 50%. But it's not just allergies to the GMO ingredients. This creates allergies in other foods as well.
Oh, there's no doubt. Now, I'll tell you what. Here's I don't know what tactics you're going to employ in Connecticut, or if this bill fails, which I'm afraid it will, in California, because California legislators have already proven that they're a bunch of commie idiots with these vaccine bills that I've been dealing with. But the fact of the matter is, when this gets taken care of one way or the other, and we have to fight these morons out there, how are we going to do it? I think one good way would be to take these studies, find people that can really finance this, and go out there and get the front page, get the full page ads in the newspapers, get it on the TV, that this governor, Governor Malloy, has completely destroyed the rights, the Bill of Rights, the rights of Canadians or of Connecticut citizens, and give those studies and say, this is what Malloy thinks. Malloy thinks that Monsanto is more important than all of these animal studies that tell you that your children are going to be adversely affected by these. Take the attack to the people and really show these scumbags for what they are, sellouts.
Well, Kurt, you know, we have to thank you for having us on your show, because one of the biggest struggles in America and one of the biggest obstacles to getting GMOs kicked out of our food supply is the failure of American media to cover these issues.
Yeah. Well, you know.
So if you have any suggestions, because Annalisa and I in Connecticut have been tearing our hair out trying to get the media to cover what's been going on with this bill.
One only has to look at the commercials. It's either pharmaceuticals or food, and a couple of car commercials in there for good measure, and you know why the media will not bite the hand that feeds them. We are going to have to do this at the grassroots level. We're going to have to do it by just trying to educate more and more citizens, and it's going to have to be at a grassroots level, and it's going to require people like yourselves that are out there on the ground, boots on the ground, doing this. I'm going to tell you what, we've got to take our last station break. We'll be right back with Annalisa and Tara. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed, Rabbit Talk Radio, naturalnewsradio.com.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health.
food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
That's right. We're back. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed. We're with Annalisa Paik and Tara Cook. We're going to take the entire hour to talk about HB 5117, Jeffrey Smith's Tipping Point Network, the constitutional issue that's arisen with HB 5117, which is a bunch of bunk. It's simply politicians that have sold out. Annalisa, Tara, let's talk a little bit more about what this bill what the effects this bill possibly would have had it passed.
This is really wonderful to go here because this bill was just a start. We're not taking any credit away from the originator of the bill, Representative Roy. It was actually really smart. So he wanted to get GE Foods labeled. That would not include genetically engineered animals. It would not include animals that were fed genetically engineered feed, which is all the feedlot meat that you're buying in the supermarket.
Right.
So unless it's organic or unless it's grass-fed, you're eating animals that were fed genetically engineered food.
Which were fed pesticides.
They could be eating certainly BT corn, which
right.
is a plant that can make its own pesticide. And we find that incredibly disturbing. Because a Canadian study last year on maternal fetal health found that BT toxin was circulating in the bloodstream of 93% of pregnant women and 80% of their fetuses. And this is a toxin that we were told would not survive digestion.
Right. And, you know, the farmers, I live in the home state of Monsanto. We're taping this program in Missouri. And all the farmers around here tell me BT stands for biotech, which is a bunch of bull, that you can drink Roundup. I've heard it all. It's all a bunch of crap. Bacillus thuringiensis, that's what BT stands for. And it's really scary when you think about what it's doing. And to find out that it's in the cord blood, that it's in the blood of these infants, and it is a toxin, a pesticide. And how do we get away with that? How do we get away with allowing, as politicians, as parents, get away with allowing this to continue?
Do you know that last night I had dinner with friends, and so of course we're talking about GMOs because it's the only conversation I really know how to engage in right now.
Yeah.
And he lived in Iowa for about 5 years, and he starts telling me a story that just dawned on him. He had a friend who was a farmer who 1 year told him that he couldn't grow his crop because the farm next to him had crop dusted, and it killed all his vegetables and all his soybeans. And yet the farm next to him was able to grow his crop of soybeans, and he didn't understand it. And I looked at my friend, and I said, oh, my God, it's because the farm next door was growing GMOs, and your friend was not.
Exactly.
And so when they crop dusted those soybeans with Roundup, it killed your friend's crops. And he had no idea. He remembered that story, and when I started talking about GMOs, it triggered something in him, and he remembered. I mean, that is just not normal, that something could be sprayed on a crop and it would survive, but everything else around it dies.
Well, I'll tell you,
not good.
My own story, before I bought my, I've got a hobby farm, hobby ranch here in Missouri. Before I bought it, it was farmed by a conventional farmer, and I've got pasture now where my horses are, where I can't get grass to grow to save my life, but the weeds will grow like you would not believe. And it was all farmland that was genetically modified crops. The weeds are growing like crazy. Grass, forget it. It's crazy what they're doing to the environment. We're destroying our planet, and the rest of the world seems to get it, and Americans are sitting with their thumbs up there, you know what.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the American consumer is asleep at the switch.
Yeah.
We think that because we're in America, the freest country in the world, that our government is looking out for us, that they have our backs. And it is a really ugly day of reckoning when you realize that that is not true. When you realize that the FDA 20 years ago said that GE foods were the same as their conventional counterparts and they didn't need to be labeled. And it doesn't matter what anybody says since then. It doesn't matter that people regularly misunderstand that GE are the same as hybridized plants. They're not. It's
right.
Totally different. We're talking about forcing foreign DNA into a plant to confer a desired trait, which is herbicide tolerant, so you can spray everything and it'll die and the only thing left standing is your crop, or insect resistance, where they produce their own pesticides. Like you said, over 90% of consumers want transparency so they can make informed choices. But it's not the will of the people that is presiding here. It's the will of the FDA. It's the will of the biotech industry. And the scare tactics that they use, we need to bust them wide open. Oh, but we need to feed the world. Oh, no, the price of food is going to go up if we require labeling. These are all untrue. There's a wonderful report out called Failure to Yield. And despite the promises of biotech industry, the yields are no greater now than they were before, and we have 383 million more pounds of herbicide on our land just during the first 13 years of commercialization of GE crops. Is that success? Is that anyone's definition of a successful piece of technology?
Well, especially...
And I'm sure you're aware of what's going on in India with the BT cotton growers. Have you heard about this tragedy?
Oh, absolutely. These Indian farmers, they're committing suicide. It's destroyed their crop. The allergies are through the roof. It's really ridiculous. I've heard Jeffrey Smith talk on this issue many times. It's frightening what's going on.
It's so tragic, and it breaks my heart that the world isn't paying attention to what's going on over there, and that the media, again, is not reporting on this, because it's just unthinkable what's going on over there.
Well, and, you know, I honestly believe the main reason is Monsanto, just like the pharmaceutical companies, owns our media, owns our government. So we have to get to the people. The problem is you've got the government. The problem is you have these companies that have far more expansive arms of media relations, of propaganda, whatever you want to call it, that continue to put the high fructose corn syrups out there, the commercials, continue to let everybody know that BT crops are just like, you know, it looks like corn, it is corn. We have to combat this, and it's such a monumental task. I just don't see, when people are more concerned about the next rerun of Friends as opposed to what they're putting on their child's dinner plate, we've got a major issue here.
We just need to get people to care. And so you're right, Kurt, people like Annalisa and I and you, we just can't stop talking about this. We cannot give up. We need to remember that we're in this for the long haul, and we just need to keep persevering, because our government is just never going to come through for us, not at this rate. And having Michael Taylor as the food safety czar right now is laughable, considering that he was the very person in the FDA that granted GMOs grass status, generally recognized as safe, which was completely done illegally. To be granted grass status and then you don't need any testing on GMOs to get them through and into the public and being grown and in the food supply. You actually needed to prove two things, and this is in the FDA's own rules and regulations. You need to show that there's great agreement within the scientific community that this is something safe to go into food, or two, it's been in the food supply for so long that there's no doubt that it's safe to be going on the table for people to eat. And back in the early 90s, when Michael Taylor granted GMOs grass status, GMOs met neither of these rules or regulations, met neither of these requirements, because GMOs hadn't even been on the market. The scientists did absolutely no testing. There certainly wasn't agreement that they were safe. Certainly not agreement within the FDA's own scientists,
yeah,
who actually had written memos to their superiors warning them,
do more testing.
What was it, two-thirds?
Documents buried for years.
What was it, two-thirds of the FDA's own scientists back then said GMOs need to be tested? This is dangerous crap.
Correct.
Or potentially.
Yes, the scientists were warning, and those memos got buried deep into the FDA. They were only they only resurfaced because Stephen Drucker, an attorney, sued the FDA, and through the discovery process, these documents came to light.
I think the only way we're going to beat this huge system of ours is to change the Americans' thinking when it comes to their government. Because when you talk to anybody right now, even though you talk to them about Vioxx, you talk to them about all the crap that's in our food and all the crap that we're being prescribed to us by doctors, and people say, oh my God, I can't believe this. But when you ask them, is the FDA the arbiter of safety for Americans? And they would say, oh hell yeah, everything should be FDA approved. Well, look at what you're saying here. We've got to get them to think logically. This organization, this government organization, the FDA, is just so scary. And we have to get people to change their view of what's going on in government.
I actually said this in my testimony when I went up to Hartford, because I was a prosecutor in New York City. So I was a government worker. And so I had a trust in the government. I believed in the government because I took my responsibility as a government worker very seriously. And so I just assumed that everybody else out there that worked for the government took their responsibility seriously and had the backs of Americans. And it rocked me to the core when I realized that wasn't true. For years upon years, I believed if it was on the shelves in the drugstore, if it was food I could buy in the supermarket, if it was a container I could drink my water from, it was safe. Because my government made sure it was safe. I was so naive. I believed there was no way that the almighty American government would let anything happen to me or my children. And I was so wrong. And I'm so fortunate that I woke up, and I feel that my children are so fortunate that I woke up. But what scares me the most, Kurt, is all those children out there whose parents have no idea about any of this. Yeah. And they're the kids that I'm really in this fight for.
It's one hell of a rude awakening when you look at things on the shelves and you see news programs now lying to your face, and you think that you're still such the minority. And you really have to fear for all the children walking the streets and sitting in a schoolroom, classroom right now. You really have to feel so frightened for them because of what's going on in our government, not just at the state level, but the federal level.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We are very concerned for every American, and we still are mystified as to why in our country we cannot enjoy the same freedom that 50 other countries enjoy. The fear-mongering is something that we have to stop. We need to arrest it. Food prices are going to go up. Absolutely, categorically untrue. 50 other countries label without detriment to businesses or consumers. A Canadian study said it would cost 1/100th of the retail price of a food to label it. We already know relabeling is taking place all the time with these companies. They do it as a matter of course. They have to refresh the product on the shelf to re-engage with the consumer. New, right? We
do
it all the time. This is standard operating procedure. And we already talked before about GM versus non-GM ingredients. They're already being segregated. That isn't the issue. The issue here is the power of the biotech industry and the fact that Americans are asleep at the switch and do not know what's going on. We need to reinforce to people that they can pick their reasons why they don't want to buy genetically engineered food. Maybe they're a naturalist and they'd recently learned about the plummeting population of monarch butterflies because the milkweeds that they lay their eggs on have been decimated in the Midwestern United States. Maybe you're an environmentalist and you don't think that dumping 383 million more pounds of herbicides on our land is a good idea. Maybe you're a scientist and you understand the pesticide treadmill that's been created because of superweeds. Maybe you're a healthcare professional and you find it disturbing that these toxins that they say wouldn't survive digestion are showing up in the bloodstream of women and fetuses. There's so many reasons that people can choose to not buy these products, And what people need to do is just avail themselves of the information that's out there. Choose organic whenever you can. Support, obviously, your local farmers so that, you know, you'll have a food supply when you need it. Choose non-GMO Project Verified. There are many companies that are now labeling their products non-GMO. And unless you call that company and find out how they are able to label them non-GMO, people just need to understand that that's not the same thing as this third-party nonprofit verifier, which is the non-GMO project. Go for the private label, Trader Joe's and Whole Foods brands. And then go to the Institute for Responsible Technology and either download their iPhone app or download their guide, their non-GMO shopping guide, and tell all your friends about it.
And your listeners should know that the main GMO crops are corn, canola, cottonseed, soy, and sugar beets. But the problem is you can't just look for those ingredients because GMOs have over 100 aliases that the non-GMO shopping guide lists. And you wouldn't believe what some of them are. Lecithin. Lecithin is in almost everything. So go familiarize yourselves with that list as well because that's where it gets really tricky. So I always tell everyone, especially the health counselor in me tells everyone, avoid processed foods altogether if you can. There's
right.
so much in processed foods that's bad for us. And so if you avoid processed foods, you're not only avoiding GMOs, but you're avoiding a heck of a lot of other things that are damaging to your health. Eat real food. Eat your vegetables. Eat your fruits. Eat your nuts. Eat your seeds. Eat your grass-fed, pasture-raised animal protein. But stop eating processed foods because it's the processed foods that have the dangerous stuff in them.
And we can really change what's going on in this country if we just stop buying the crap and telling the industry we're no longer going to put up with it. And if you want to become a viable business or stay a viable business, you're going to have to give us what we want. And it's a no-brainer when people learn about this. They really get fired up, like both of you were just minding your own business and you happened to go to a Jeffrey Smith thing and your eyes were woken up. And I see that happen all the time. I've been on this community jump for the last 7 years, and I see it at every time I see Jeffrey Smith talk, light bulbs going off in people's heads and they're walking out of there going, oh my God, I had no clue.
Yeah, and now that we are disciples of Jeffrey Smith and we're empowered to go out there and spread the word, in addition to advocating for our bill, so we were able to do both at the same time, it was really incredible that the opportunity to share that information was allowed because we had to talk about the bill. It was actually a wonderful opportunity to be able to talk about both. We could not believe we would schedule an event from 12 to 1, we would be kicking people out the door at 2:30. That's how engaged we had audiences. And it happened over and over again at our events. People didn't want to leave. What about this? What about that? And what about the other thing? And how can I help? And what can I do? It is incredible. So it while Jeffrey Smith was pivotal here, once people have this information, they're empowered to just go out and start telling all their friends about it. Share this show with your friends.
Right.
Ask your friends to commit to sharing this show with at least 10 other people. Post it on social media. Get the dialogue going and start waking people up. This is shameful that the United States is being operated this way, and I'm sure we are the laughing stock of those 50 other countries.
We absolutely are. And another thing we'd really like your listeners to do is, unfortunately, I don't have the information in front of me, but Twitter our governor. Get on Twitter and let the governor know that what he did is unacceptable. Find his Facebook page. Find his phone number. Send him emails. We need the governor to hear that what he did by telling us we do not have the right to know what is in our food, that what he did was not okay with us.
Now, let me ask both of you this. With 85% of the legislature being in favor of this bill, untouched as it was with Section 2 in action there, what recourse do these legislators have? Can they look at this governor and say, what in the hell did you just do? You have no right to do that. What recourse do they have, and what are you hearing about that?
The only thing that right now, it looks like it's a dead issue. There's nothing we can do. They feel just as powerless as we do right now.
That is so frightening. This governor, I certainly hope that this is a big issue the next time this idiot comes up for re-election. And I hope that whoever, whatever governor's running, whatever guy's running against him or gal that's running against him knows that we're not going to put up with this anymore. And that's just what we're going to have to do. Now, California, Connecticut, Vermont, and now even Michigan are working to pass GMO labeling bills. Connecticut's bill, of course, detoothed, if you will. Do you know, are you working closely with the other? I know you said something about you're working closely with Jeffrey Smith regarding the California bill. Are you working closely with any of the others in Vermont or Michigan?
You know what? This is all fairly new. So I think the states are definitely going to start mobilizing together. Right now, the national organizations have all been assisting the states. But I know that Annalisa and I certainly want to get the states together, the grassroots people together, so they can start working together as well. And we've been in touch with people from Massachusetts, actually, who are working with their legislators right now to get a bill going into committee. So there are a lot of states working on this right now, and we need to join forces.
Yeah, and I actually was introduced through either OCA or the CFS, Center for Food Safety, to California and Michigan people, and we stand in solidarity with any other state that wants to pass this legislation. And all the prep that we put into educating and informing our state legislators, we are happy to email it to anybody. I've already done that with Michigan. They already have our information. They contacted us and said, we need this, that, and the other thing. And I said, take it all. You can take anything you want. Let's just get this done. So you are absolutely right. No state should stand alone, and we should work in cooperation with one another.
You know, and all it's going to take is one or two of these smaller states or a large state like California, which is what, like eighth in the world as far as an economy goes.
Yeah.
It's going to take California, or it's going to take Connecticut, Vermont, and Michigan getting together and passing a bill like this that will just set that domino effect in all the states. It'll just happen without the other states getting involved, because they're just not going to put this different ingredients for different states. The companies are just going to have to realize we've got to go GMO free. But I just don't see how these states are going to pass. These politicians are just human. They're going to take the money, and I know you're careful in what you say, but I guarantee you this Malloy character is a little bit richer today than he was on Friday. I just can't see any other way. Or he's going to end up working for frickin' Monsanto or something when he's finally voted out of office. It's just crazy what's going on.
You should also know that the Speaker of the House in Connecticut right now, his name is Christopher Donovan, and he's running for Congress right now. And so I just want to throw that out there as we're talking about what's going on with our politicians and how they're only human, because it's a little suspect there as well.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to just keep an eye on this. Once again, where can people find out about what's going on and keep in contact with what y'all are doing? The website?
We will absolutely keep you in the loop, and we are very much going to enjoy sharing your show with all our followers. We have Right to Know Connecticut members across the entire state, and many of them are involved in other movements like Millions Against Monsanto. So between the phone calls and the emails that we got yesterday from other national organizations that saying that they support us, even one in particular who we wondered kind of why they were so quiet, that said, wow, we're here now. We have time for you. So Connecticut has become the poster child for the Right to Know movement. Obviously, Vermont was denied its bill. Governor Shumlin said he would veto the bill. Here, it was handled differently, and they have kicked the hornet's nest.
Well, I'm certainly glad you two are on our side. Linderman Unleashed, we are friends of this movement. Everybody that listens to the show on a regular basis knows we do not play games here. We're going to let y'all know exactly what's going on. Annalisa, Tara, thank you so much for being on the program. I want to ask you to stay on the line while I'm signing off. Once again, any websites that you can promote real quick?
Yes, righttoknowct.org. And
www.responsibletechnology.org. That's Jeffrey Smith's website.
That's right.
And also follow us on Facebook and Twitter, at Right to Know CT on Twitter, and same thing, Right to Know CT on Facebook.
That's right. And I'll have both of those links and everything on my Linderman Unleashed Facebook page that everybody can check and go, and get a direct link to these websites as soon as you listen to this program. Annalisa, Tara, thank you so much for being on Linderman Unleashed. I really appreciate taking your time this morning to talk with me. Absolutely. You've been listening to Linderman Unleashed, Rabbit Talk Radio, naturalnewsradio.com. Do not forget, at Linderman Unleashed, the gloves are always off. Y'all have a good one.